Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to All of It. I'm Matt Katz, filling in for Allison Stewart. Back in 2016, an anonymous post on a message board in a dark corner of the internet kicked off what would come to be known as QAnon, one of the most all-encompassing, pervasive conspiracy theories in history. Since then, this totally nonsensical idea that there's a secret cabal of pedophiles running the world and that President Donald Trump is here to save us from their grasp has gained traction. From that dark corner of the web, QAnon made its way to mom Facebook groups. So how exactly has it spread so quickly and so voraciously? Turns out, listeners, it happened right here in our own backyard. Recent reporting has unmasked New Jersey resident Jason Galinas. Galinas is behind a website that aggregated and explained the bits and pieces of the QAnon conspiracy theory and made them more digestible and accessible. Galinas, who is a tech executive for Citigroup, said his goal was to bring QAnon to normies. According to figures from the summer, the site was pulling in an average of over 300,000 visitors per day. Joining me now are Bloomberg Businessweek reporters Joshua Brustein and William Turton. Their article, headlined "QAnon High Priest Was Just Trolling Away as a Citigroup Tech Executive," published last week. Joshua, William, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Guys, I just want to back up a little bit. A lot of people may have heard of QAnon. Fewer people may have heard exactly what it is, and fewer people still may understand what in the world that they heard. Joshua, what is this theory? Can you kind of explain it to us, summarize it for us, and what's being alleged as part of this theory, and how have these ideas just been proliferating?
Sure. QAnon is the latest incarnation in a series of conspiracy theories that have been traveling around the internet since about 2016, based on the idea that there is a conspiracy of pedophiles who are high up in government and entertainment circles who have been wielding immense influence over global affairs for years. And QAnon's specific spin on this is that Donald Trump has been elected to combat this this plot. And there is a series of messages called Q drops, which outline what's going on, interpret the news, make predictions, and then people look for clues in those messages and sort of correlate them with news reports to determine various things about politics, none of which make a whole lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And William, as I mentioned earlier, perhaps the biggest aggregator and promulgator of this theory operated right here in North Jersey, I guess, translating these Q drops into a more accessible format. Jason Galinas, who is a Citigroup executive, since been fired. You guys actually went to his house in North Jersey. What brought you there, William, and what happened when you got there?
So the reason we decided to go to his house is because two researchers from a website called Logically AI were actually the ones who identified Jason as behind the site. You know, they had shown through their own kind of analysis and research that Jason was the person most likely behind the site. But, you know, they hadn't gone to him for comment, and there were still kind of a lot of lingering questions. So, you know, after reading that report, I rented a car and went to his house in New Jersey, where I found him in his front yard. You know, he was hesitant to talk with me, and we only really had a brief conversation. I had printed out the report from those researchers Logically and was showing it to him. You know, it really struck me that he didn't deny running the site. And then he went on to say that QAnon was a patriotic movement to save the country. Mm. You know, he went back inside his house and eventually called the cops, who very kindly asked me to leave.
Listeners, we know that QAnon has reached far and wide, and we want to know, has it found its way into your orbit? Have you seen Q posts on social media? Maybe your parents or a friend has brought this idea of a secret cabal running the world to your email inbox or text message. Have you lost anyone you love to QAnon? This is a increasingly common phenomenon. Give us a call at 646-435-7280. That's 646 435-7280. Or maybe you've seen some of the memes in your local parent Facebook groups or in other places online where you might not expect them. 646-435-7280. Guys, in your article, you quote Janja Lelich, an expert on cults from California State University. And she says, quote, "It's times like these that cults can thrive. We have leadership that has tried very hard to change our relationship with reality, and people are grasping at straws. The last 4 years have been precedent setting and creating an atmosphere of disbelief," unquote. To that end, let's hear about a minute and a half of what President Trump said just last night about QAnon at his NBC town hall. Here he's being asked this question about QAnon by NBC's Savannah Guthrie.
"Let me ask you about QAnon. It is this theory that Democrats are a satanic pedophile ring and that you are the savior of that. Now, can you just once and for all state that that is completely not true and that disavow QAnon in its entirety?"
"I know nothing about QAnon.
I just told you.
I know very little. You told me, but what you tell me doesn't necessarily make it fact. I hate to say that. I know nothing about it. I do know they are very much against pedophilia. They fight it very hard. But I know nothing about it.
They believe it is a satanic cult run by the deep state.
Study the subject, by
Republicans." Republican Senator Ben Sasse said, quote, "QAnon is nuts, and real leaders call conspiracy theories conspiracy theories."
He may be
right. "Why not just say it's crazy and not true?"
"He may be right. I just don't know about QAnon."
"You do know."
"I don't know. No, I don't know. I don't know.
You Let me tell ask me you all another about thing.
It. Let's waste the whole show. You start off with white supremacy, I denounce it. You start off with something else. Let's go. Keep asking me these questions."
"Okay.
Let me just tell you, what I do hear about it is they are very strongly against pedophilia. And I agree with that. I mean, I do agree with that, and I agree with it
very strongly." "But there's not a satanic pedophile cult.
I have no idea. I know nothing about
that." "You don't know that?" "Okay.
No, I don't know
you
that.
You just
and neither,
this
neither
week.
Do you know that."
"Okay."
Okay, so there the president is winking and nodding at QAnon, it seems. The president said he doesn't know about QAnon, even though he apparently does. And then to believers, he's this savior figure. First, William, what would QAnon people make of that clip? How would something like that fit into the QAnon mythology?
So one of the interesting things about QAnon is that these people really deeply believe in the conspiracy, and I'm sure they saw that clip last night and were excited about it. I mean, Trump's refusal to denounce it, probably signaled to them, you know, what they might interpret as a wink and a nod, right? And him also saying that he's against pedophilia, well, that plays into the whole idea of QAnon, that Trump exists and became president to clean up this elite cabal of pedophiles. So, you know, I'm sure QAnon was pleased with that reaction.
Yeah. And you know, his response reminded me of the way he's equivocated on denouncing white supremacists. And that brings up another piece of the QAnon theory and conspiracy theory. How much does white supremacy and anti-Semitism fit into some of these QAnon ideas?
You know, it's definitely an aspect of the conspiracy theory. I mean, you'll notice that certain, like, influential and popular Jewish figures are sometimes targeted by QAnon. I mean, the conspiracy is just kind of so wacky and weird that kind of any type of, discrimination or hatred is so, easy to be wrapped up into all of it.
Yeah. As we've been saying, your story takes a deep dive on Jason Galinas, who ran this website, qmap.pub. And right now, all that's up on the site is an image with some text that says, "In it together." Joshua, what did this site look like when it was up and running at full steam?
So the site was a slickly designed place where you could go to read these updates from Q, the sort of narrator of the QAnon conspiracy theory. It would list each one with a title and some context around them. The main reason that this was needed and that served as an effective way to spread the this theory was that the actual Q drops themselves show up on websites subsequently was 4chan, then 8chan, then 8kun, which are basically not sites that most people want to go to, both for design reasons and because they are full of lots of content that people really don't want to see. So the main purpose was to present the content in a friendly place. In addition to that, it had a forum where people could sort of form community and run theories by one another, and a list of players, which would say, you know, so-and-so is a force for evil in the world, you know, this person's a patriot, and just kind of built its whole supporting mythology around the core material of the QAnon conspiracy theory.
And what was his background, the guy who ran the site? He lived in Berkeley Heights, right, in New Jersey. Tell us a little bit about what you found out about him.
Sure. Jason Galinas, by all accounts, is a pretty normal New Jersey guy. He grew up in New Jersey, went to Fordham for undergraduate and took some graduate classes there as well, got jobs at a series of financial firms, spent over a decade working at Citigroup, where he ascended pretty high up the ladder. He was a senior vice president working on some advanced technical products, had a number of people reporting to him. By most accounts, was a pretty personable guy, has three children. And I think a lot of people were pretty surprised to hear about the sort of second life that he was living on the internet.
Yeah. And William, he went from being a registered Democrat, according to people you spoke to, and then he ended up running this far-right conspiracy site.
Yeah, so according to public records, we found at one point he was a registered Democrat who later changed his registration to Republican. He also made his first ever political donation in 2017, $200 to the Trump Make America Great Again Committee. That's what's pretty interesting here, I thought, is that, you know, he was someone who, you know, according to the friends I spoke to, wasn't always kind of as motivated and as animated by politics and by conspiracy theories, but who kind of slowly but increasingly over time became more dedicated to it.
And I should note, he's since been fired from his position at Citigroup. Is that right?
Yeah, he was fired from Citigroup, and the reason that they gave as to why they fired him was because there's a policy at Citi where you have to declare to the company all of your external income. And what Jason was doing was he was running a Patreon account where he was taking in over $3,000 a month to support keeping the website online, so like paying the bills to host the website, and he did not declare that to Citi. You know, what's interesting about that is that according to him, he wasn't even making any money off the site. The site at one point was costing over $4,000 just to keep online because it had so much traffic. Wow. So that $3,000 he was fundraising was just to kind of lower his personal costs in running the site.
I want to talk about how the QAnon conspiracy theory started. So it began on 4chan, this anonymous message board, kind of dark corner of the web, where there's trolls and people who post untrue things and unseemly things. What do we know then about how QAnon started? Joshua, you want to take that one?
Sure. At the time that QAnon started, it was shortly after Donald Trump had become president. There was already the seeds of some of these pedophilia storylines floating out there on the sorts of websites that that you mentioned, and there were actually a number of accounts posting purportedly secret information that was coming from top government officials. And so QAnon was one of these accounts. For whatever reason, this is one that took off in a way that FBI Anon and CIA Anon did not. And it kind of floated around in this world for a while. You saw sites like QMAP start to bring it out of that world. And then you really saw that was kind of a bridge to mainstream social media, which played a huge role in getting this out to the masses. Recently, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook have all taken action to try to reduce the spread of QAnon narratives. But this is several years after this has been percolating, and I think that, you know, that is a main way that this spread from one corner of the internet to really all corners of American discourse at this point.
Yeah, and William, who is Q? Do we know?
So, you know, that's a question that a lot of journalists have spent a lot of time and energy unmasking. It's unclear who this person is or whether it's even been the same person over the period of time that QAnon has existed, or whether it's a group of people. But, you know, uncovering the identity of people like Jason, I think, is just as consequential as figuring out as to who Q is, right? It's like one of the people who is building the kind of key infrastructure for promoting the conspiracy and onboarding people into the conspiracy. You know, I think there's a lot of time and energy spent on wondering who Q is, but, you know, it's unclear if we'll ever get an answer, and it's certainly unclear.
Yeah. I mean, these Q drops that come out from Q, there are these bits of information. And part of the deal seems to be that believers try to decode what Q says. Is this like religious in a way? Because it's like almost deciphering ancient biblical text, the way people just spend their days and nights online trying to interpret these vague Q drops. Would you make that connection between like religion and the way religious people approach original texts?
Yeah, I think they're. Sorry, go ahead, Josh.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think that the way to think about it is there's something ritualistic about this, in the sense that you get to participate in the creation of this story if you are following along. And I think that that's often been one of the appeals of conspiracy theories, that you believe that the story that you're hearing is not the true story, and through research and your own hard work and discussion, you can uncover the truth. And that does seem to be part of the appeal of Q to the people who are really into it. And QMAP sort of served as a tool to that purpose. I don't know. Does that sound right to you, William?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
I'm speaking with Bloomberg reporters Joshua Brustein and William Turton about their reporting on QAnon. We're going to continue our conversation and take some of your calls after we take a quick break. Stay with us. This is Matt Katz. I'm filling in for Allison Stewart, and you're listening to All of It. I'm speaking with Bloomberg reporters Joshua Brustein and William Turton about their reporting on QAnon, and we're going to go to the phone lines. William from Jersey City. Hi, William. I understand that you've had an unfortunate experience with QAnon. Do you mind sharing your story?
Sure. So, my father, actually, who kind of slowly got into it. Prior, he was, of course, a Trump supporter, but, he kind of got into this QAnon conspiracy stuff, and I challenged him about, it's like, so you believe in Pizzagate and all this other stuff? And he's like, well, do you, I wouldn't say I believe in the pizza, in the tooth fairy. So, but then as he got more into it, so he kind of picked and chose what he related to, and he got deeper and deeper into it, to the point to where the things that he first said he didn't believe in, that he began believing in. And so it kind of got to this point to where he's said that, he's armed and ready if Donald Trump just makes a call to arms, and he's part of an army of thousands of people that are willing to rise up and overthrow the government just if Donald Trump calls for it, like for any reason. And there's no unjust reason in his mind. It's, kind of got to a scary point where the more I challenged him on the ideas, it got to a point to where now he, won't talk to me. He refuses to take my calls. He's blocked me on social media, and he apparently won't talk to me for the next 2 years. I don't know why 2 years is an arbitrary number, but I believe it's become normalized where people can pick and choose parts of crazy ideas and conspiracy theories that relate to them. And and then they just get deeper into it. I don't know if that's part of it, that there's parts that relate. And even Donald Trump has normalized this, where he, you know, he will pick parts of things he agrees with and then ignore everything else. And I think that normalizes this, you know, this mindset.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry that you're dealing with this. That's got to be incredibly difficult. I just want to clarify, Pizzagate was sort of an original conspiracy tied in with QAnon, that there was this child trafficking ring in a basement in a pizzeria in D.C. that Hillary Clinton was involved in, and a guy actually went there with a gun to shoot it up, and there wasn't even a basement at all in the pizza place. Do you have any, like, sense, William, of, like, how your father was susceptible to this, like how he even first came into contact with these ideas?
When I was younger, he was a Democrat when we were younger. He was a Trump supporter, and, which, you know, I have some friends who are Trump supporters and they're not that far down the rabbit hole, but I mean, I don't know he lives in, and I guess a conservative part of Virginia. So I don't know if it's being, you know, he's been there for, you know, 15, 20 years. I don't know if that's part of it, you know, being surrounded by other people. I'm not really sure what makes somebody susceptible. I mean, I think when you think it's okay to pick and choose parts of things that, you know, of that are crazy, or that are, you know, out there, it enables you to kind of get further into it. I mean, myself, if one part doesn't add up, I kind of don't take the rest of it seriously as a normal person.
Right. Right. So how are you trying to deal with this? Are you just letting it play its course and hoping he comes around?
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much all I can do at this point. So, obviously trying to talk sensibly. I mean, I tried talking sensibly and, just got yelled and screamed at and hung up on not talk to anymore. So I think the best thing I can do at this point is leave it alone and hope that maybe, that he'll calm down after the upcoming election, no matter what the results are. Sometimes you just have to let people be. You know, I can't obviously change anything.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your story. I would love for you to hold on just a moment so one of our producers can connect with you, and maybe we can follow up and see how see how your story turns out. Really appreciate you calling in. Guys, I mean, this is what we're talking about. I mean, people finding conspiracy theories and finding a piece that they hook into. If you think about conspiracy theories through the years, there's JFK's assassination, the moon landing was staged. But this QAnon is about, this global conspiracy, and it's ongoing and it's all encompassing, and it adds new pieces on almost every day. I mean, there's even a piece in it talking about JFK's assassination, about JFK Jr. really being alive and being, you know, an ally of Trump in this fight against this cabal. Guys, do you think this is why QAnon has been able to, part of the reason why it's been able to rope so many people in, just because it's like a grab bag? And also, I'll take any other reaction you might have to our caller's story. Joshua?
Well, first of all, William's story is rough. I mean, to have a relationship severed over a disagreement like that is heartbreaking. And I do think a couple of things that stood out from what he said, where he was talking about, you know, accepting parts of a theory. I think that the political atmosphere that has given rise to this is really that you've seen a mixture of the actual political discourse with this conspiracy theory, and you kind of start on one end of the line and end up on the other. It seems like the motivating factor behind the people pushing the conspiracy theory is political mobilization, coming up with a justification to demonize your political enemies. And I think that's what's particularly dangerous about something like QAnon, and compared to something like the moon landing being fake, where there's not like a specific action that you think you might take because someone faked something that happened 50 years ago.
Yeah. Facebook and Twitter and other platforms have supposedly started to crack down on content. William, how effective have they been at slowing this conspiracy theory? I mean, is there what are the efforts to try to stop this from spreading and kind of infecting more fathers like this one?
So it's hard to know, you know, how effective they've been, because the social media platforms have only decided to take action against QAnon very recently. You know, Facebook and Twitter, for example, only in the past couple months have decided to, you know, kind of de-amplify this content. And we only saw YouTube this week decide to ban QAnon content. So, you know, the major kind of social media platforms have played a very large role in the amplification of QAnon and stood by for a long time, you know, as the conspiracy grew out of hand, but now have suddenly decided that they're going to try and ban it from the platform. Why they've decided to make the change now is unclear.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. Ivy. Hi, Ivy.
Yes, hi. Hi.
I understand you have an experience with QAnon in some way. Tell us your story.
Well, my story is that, you know, I've already lived through one civil war, and that's in former Yugoslavia, and I had lost some friends to religion and all kinds of nonsense, because when the times are hard, people will start believing anything if they have no food on their table. And I can tell you, we're in some of those times right now, as people get no, you know, lost. People have lost jobs. People have no financial security. They're desperate and they need a reason to justify why they feel the way they feel. And so QAnon fits perfectly. There's a lot of hate. There's a lot of promise. There is a promise of some kind of retribution for all the bad deeds. You know, whether it's child eating bad people or satanists, yeah, or pedophilia, you name it, the story is actually amazing. You know, it's better than Bible. It's got every craziness and good and bad, the forces of good and bad, and that's really all you need to command a lot of attention to people who are desperate. So long story short, people are pretty desperate in Serbia, which is where I'm from. And yeah. Serbia is like a, you know, 52nd state with their old Trumpers there. Yeah, there are some political reasons why, but they're all gobbling up QAnon because the media there is all very righty. So I almost managed to completely sever the relationship with my father and brother because after many conversations, really we were going nowhere, even though, you know, we throughout the Trump presidency, actually, we were keeping up with our differences. You know, I was a lefty, they were a righty, but we were respectful, everything was fine. Once Corona came and QAnon really became very prominent, the conversation was impossible with my brother. But he was respectful. My father, however, would be militant about it. You know, like, there is no virus, right? Where did you hear it? Well, I don't know what the sources are. I asked my brother what your sources are, and he kind of really wouldn't say. You know, he would send me the YouTube videos, for example, to watch these theories, and I would just laugh it off. And so after months, I realized, you know, he really doesn't have a source to give me other than various YouTube conspiracy videos.
They're
in Serbia.
Yeah, so these are QAnon videos. The same QAnon conspiracy, and this is related to, we didn't even talk about this, that the coronavirus is a fraud.
Absolutely.
So this is a QAnon video that's spreading in Serbia about
fraudulent. And they're all, yes, and they're all translated, and, you know, every tentacle of this story has another 90 minutes video that they sent me to watch. And the moment I read the title, I'm like, oh, no, not again. So I guess the good news is that I was able to save my relationship with them by, you know, confronting them and telling them several times, listen, like, I respect you, but I don't want to go down this rabbit hole because these are our differences. I'm doing whatever I can in this country to make the life better for all the people. I know what I'm doing. I know what the news is on the left and on the right. And, you know, you read your righty news, but I don't agree with that. And so after some back and forth and some pause, and maybe like a month of kind of not talking about it or avoiding that, we're now kind of able to just go back to family talk with these differences still there. So that's the story.
Thank you so much for calling in, Ivy. I really appreciate it. I'm glad you've been able to find some peace with this, and I hope things smooth out in some way. I really appreciate you calling. I want to take one more call before I let you guys go. This is Phil from Queens. Hi, Phil.
Hey, how you doing?
We're hanging in, man. What's your experience with this conspiracy theory?
Essentially, I have a lot of friends who fell down the rabbit hole. Some of them are Trump supporters, some of them are not. But what I was telling the individuals before was that essentially this is not going to go away, even if Trump is not reelected. And a lot of these people are so far down the rabbit hole in their belief systems that I honestly believe that there's going to be some sort of, you know, call to action or call to arms, and we're going to have more instances like the individual who showed up at the Cosmic Pizza, you know, place in D.C. a couple of years ago. And a lot of these people that I know are people who wield power. They're police officers, they're lawyers, and other, you know, people who wield power like that. And I think, like, what we have to do is, as Democrats, liberals, or even if you're a conservative and you don't believe in this, you have to all kind of team up, because this is now weaponized information. And we have people like Alex Jones feeding the president with his info wars. And essentially that's now coming back to hurt us, because we thought, hey, it's a conspiracy, it's not real. Lizard people or whatever, you know, these people say that's fiction. And now it's come back to hurt us.
Wow. That's cops and lawyers and other people in prominent positions. Phil, thank you very much. If you could just hold on for a moment, I would love to connect with you offline. And great. Joshua and William, we just have about a minute left, but can one of you just give our listeners some sense of maybe any advice that you've read or ideas that you may have about how to help family members, loved ones, others to not get roped into this sort of misinformation, or even how to diffuse it if they see it on their timelines on social media?
Sure.
Either one of you guys. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think the reason why QAnon and other conspiracies like this are so popular are because they are kind of rooted in this distrust of the media and distrust of certain facts. So I think that by acknowledging the fact that, you know, maybe the media isn't always right, and you know, as we saw with like Jeffrey Epstein, sometimes there are powerful people that are pedophiles. You know, there are some kind of basic truths that we could all agree on here. Well, of course, you know, QAnon goes way out of right field. I think starting there might be a place to kind of to help someone.
Yeah. I've been speaking with Bloomberg reporters Joshua Brustein and William Turton about their reporting on QAnon. I am also a reporter in the WNYC newsroom. I'm very interested in how people have been personally affected and lost loved ones due to this. If you want to reach out to me, I'm at mkatz@wnyc.org. But Joshua and William, really appreciate your reporting, your investigation into all of this, and thank you so much for joining us on All of It.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.